Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
That's so funny. Welcome back to Jeopardy, guys.
Okay, welcome back, Guilty and Ghostly.
That's so cool. That was worth it. Just saying.
Just that.
Just
that
part. Just for the soundboard alone.
Man, it's pretty cool.
She said, whoa. Whoa.
What she said.
And I've got some surprises. She's a good co-host.
I know. You ready to start? Can you start us off? Oh, she's shy.
What episode are we on?
36.
Episode 36, brought to you by Dubby. We got a new flavor this time. I can't remember what it is.
They give me heavy, like Joe Rogan, like his podcasts, like... In the middle of the podcast, they'll always be like, and this episode is brought to you by Manscaped. When you get too hairy.
We are not sponsored by Manscaped, by the way, but...
If they wanted to, I already used one of their razors, and you know.
Yep.
Them things are literally the best on the market.
Never tried it.
Totally worth it.
I'll have to try that.
Biggest complaint is it's a subscription deal, but it's easy to can't... You know what? We're not sponsored yet. I'm not gonna...
Yeah, sponsor us. We'll tell you all about it.
Yeah.
Well, we also have some special guests, so you might hear some noises from Hadley. And we have another special guest in the corner. Lean over, bub. And we have Jackson. So they're going to join us today. Are you? Can you say hi?
No.
No? Okay. And Seth finally came back.
Which one's the wah, wah, wah?
We got a full room tonight.
What are we talking about today?
In honor of Christmas, because this releases on Monday, and Christmas is...
Thursday.
So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Hope you're enjoying your time with your family. Or not.
You could always turn on the podcast and...
Tune them out. Put your AirPods in. You don't have to listen to anybody.
Yeah.
And then Seth is actually wearing some new Guilty and Ghostly merch. Hit us up if you want some, if anybody's interested in ordering them.
Super comfy.
Like them. We can do sweatshirts, t-shirts, hoodies. What else we got, Hadley? Candy canes.
Mm-hmm.
What about tank tops?
Tank tops? Yeah. You want tank tops? Yeah.
Baby onesies.
Maybe a bib for slobber. So we have a creepy Christmas, because what's Guilty and Ghostly without their...
Yeah!
Yeah.
That's why she's got the little EMF detector thing.
Yeah, she's a little ghost baby. Hauntings with Hadley. Here we go. I can see that drool just going down her chin. Is that good stuff? All right, so I guess we'll just go ahead and jump in, because I don't think we have any business or anything. Oh, tune in on Christmas Eve. We will have a special little bonus episode that we're working on.
And make your kids listen to it.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. So let's go ahead and jump in. It is the most terrifying time of the year. Dun, dun, dun. We need to add that one. While the world decks the halls and hums cheerful carols, we're pulling back the tinsel to expose the shadows lurking beneath the Christmas tree. In this Merry Creepmas episode, we're trading warm cocoa for cold dread as we dive into the dark, twisted, and downright sinister side of the holiday season. Where traditions turn macabre, legends get deadly, and Christmas cheer comes with a body count. Lock the doors, dim the lights, and join us, because tonight, Christmas isn't coming to town alone. Are you scared?
No. You should be.
I wish we could see you a little bit more. You're not quite in frame. So the first one is probably the most well-known that we're covering. Krampus. Do you know Krampus? Yeah. Because he comes to you. Krampus is described as a half-goat, half-human creature. His body is tall and bent, often hunched forward. He is covered in coarse, matted black or brown fur, and he has hooves rather than feet. And like Jackson's pointing at, we have Krampus. Actually, you can't really see him. Oh, God.
You might actually be able to see him. Oh. Yeah, you can see him better.
We actually have a Krampus. We'll put him right here. Maybe.
I don't know. We're going to catch fire.
Okay. And as you can see, we have Krampus joining us tonight.
She was talking in tongues.
You should probably put a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode for a headphone user.
Yeah, anyhow, I'll try to bring it down a little bit when Hadley has something to say. Do you guys have something to say? What'd you tell him about? Oh, you lost it.
It's going to be so stupid.
I know, you're going to have to give her a bath before you leave. He has long, curved horns, sometimes ram-like, sometimes jagged and uneven, twisting backwards. His face is a grotesque blend of man and beast with sunken eyes, a flattened nose, and a mouth stretched far too wide, often seen with a long red tongue hanging out of his mouth, like Miley Cyrus.
Or Gene Simmons.
Or Gene Simmons. That shows our different personalities. His hands are like blackened claws. Some depictions show him dragging iron chains, their clatter meant to announce his approach and symbolize his bondage to hell. She looked at you like,
why are we here today?
Dad, why did you bring me here? Around his waist or shoulders, he carries bundles of birch rods that he uses to whip misbehaving children, and then he will throw them in a whisker basket. That would be awful. That'd be pokey.
I think that'd be worse than a wicker basket.
Probably so. He will throw them in a wicker basket. After he whips you nearly to death, he will then either drag you to the depths of hell or he will take you to the bottom of an ice-cold river. I've seen both different stories.
You even asked me which one I would prefer, and yeah. I came up with like a huge, long reason why.
I know. I wanted like a five-second answer, and 30 minutes later, I'm just like, uh-huh, okay. Which one would you rather, Seth? Would you rather be drugged to hell or to an ice-cold river? The bottom of an ice-cold river. That's what I said. Josh said and then he switched. Here we go, 30 minutes. Take a break.
I think freezing to death would be really, really horrible, but you would die. If you got drugged to hell, it would be an eternity of death.
I was also thinking if you get drugged through a freezing cold river, you'd probably drown before you died of hypothermia.
Maybe.
Right. But the argument for hell would be you'd probably burn your nerve endings like super fast. So you wouldn't really feel it.
But it's hell.
I'm sticking with my answer. That's what you're waiting for. I was just, you know, more valid arguments.
So we got two votes to the cold river. One, what do you got, Jackson? Which one do you pick? Cold river. Dad's the odd one out here. He's
just afraid to say hell.
I just think that there's equal reasoning why each one sucks just as bad as the other.
Oh, yeah. I would rather neither. Well, just like an angel or devil sitting on your shoulder, Krampus has a good counterpart, Old Saint Nick.
Hey.
His story, derived from pagan traditions, and is older than the big man himself, Jesus. The name Krampus comes from the German word Krampen, which also means claw or hook. Yeah. His name actually translates to the Clawed One. So even though he is now paired with St. Nicholas, Krampus was officially viewed as a pagan and potentially demonic influence.
So that was the difference between Santa Claus and Santa Claus.
By the 12th century, Christianity had spread through the Alps, and the church sought to replace pagan rituals with Christian order. But Krampus was a little bit too wild and a little bit too ancient to make him completely disappear. Priests condemned him as demonic. Sermons warned children that he was evil, equating the clawed horned figure with the devil himself. Villagers were told not to participate in masked celebrations and to ignore the warnings of the beast. Some towns even tried fines or bans, hoping to end the terrifying... I listened to the word and it's already gone.
Oh my gosh.
Krampusnacht, I believe is how you say it.
Hey, that wasn't bad.
Krampusnacht.
It's probably Krampus, though.
Krampus. Krampusnacht. Forget. Krampusnacht literally meant Krampus night. So it translates to Krampus night. It is the traditional Alpine celebration dedicated to Krampus on December 5th, the night before St. Nicholas Day. This timing is significant because children were rewarded by St. Nicholas for good behavior on December 6th. Yeah. But during Krampusnacht, he was the warning for the naughty. So who are you getting visited by, Jackson? Krampus or old St. Nick?
Krampus.
Krampus is coming. Well, Krampusnacht is a night of chaos, fear, and ritualized punishment. This is wild. And what they did before and what they do now, it's a little bit different. So these people dress in elaborate masks and fur with horns, claws, long tongues, carrying chains and bells. And they basically run through the streets. Now it's more playful, kind of like a fun parade.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be not like that, and they would literally try to scare their children to the point these guys would literally chase these children through the town, go to people's houses, and the parents would open the door and let these guys in their house to chase their children and scare the ever-living crap out of them. Then they pay them with beer, and they'd go to the next house and do the same thing.
They probably had some badass kids.
I guess so. Could you imagine being that age and having some stranger chasing you in a Krampus outfit?
Yeah.
In some towns, participants compete to have the scariest costume, rattling chains, and the loudest bells. The holiday served several functions. Moral enforcement. It was a practical way to encourage obedient children. Or scare them straight. Ritualized fear. The celebration harnessed old pagan winter rites.
Yeah.
That was funny.
She said, hurry up. She's being very patient.
Give me that. Okay. And it was ritualized fear. The celebration harnessed old pagan winter rites and used frightening spirits to symbolize the dangers of the season. I don't know what to do with my hands. Community bonding. People would gather for these events, combining celebration with shared superstitions. So that's kind of the history of Krampus. Krampus.
I'm really sticky.
Krampus is staring at you.
I know. And my pants match here forever.
Now we're going to move on to the Yule Cat. Do you know what the Yule Cat is?
I'm not familiar with that either, to be honest.
Long before Christmas became about lights and gifts, winter in Iceland was something to be survived, not celebrated. The cold arrived early and it stayed late. Food was rationed and work was constant.
What were they working on? It's that cold.
Getting food and stuff for the winter and getting their...
Winter.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever seen The Bug's Life?
Yeah.
Okay, just like that.
Okay.
Where the grasshoppers came and got him.
Yeah. I was about to say.
They're grasshoppers, are they called?
If a family failed to prepare before the snow came, people died.
No choice to be lazy back then.
Be lazy, you die. Survival depended on everyone doing their part. Actually, Donald Krampus. Especially in the fall, when wool had to be spun, woven, and sewn into clothing that would keep people alive through the winter months. If you worked hard, you were rewarded with new clothes, a pair of socks, a tunic, and something warm. New clothing was not a luxury. It was proof that you had contributed, that you had earned your place in the household. And if you didn't receive new clothes, folklore says the Yule Cat would come for you. The Yule Cat is not a companion to Santa, and it's not a trickster. Stories describe it as an enormous, far larger than any natural animal, sometimes as big as a house. Its fur is always black, thick, and matted, swallowing what little light winter offers. Its eyes would glow in the dark, yellow, red, or sometimes even icy blue. And its claws are long, curved, and sharp enough to tear through flesh and bone without effort. Despite its size, the Yule Cat moves silently. There are no footsteps in the snow, no warning growl. Some stories say you can hear its breathing in the wind or mistake its low rumble for a winter storm moving in. By the time you realize it's nearby, it's already too late. So you better clean your room or the Yule Cat is coming for you.
Pick your potatoes and go and fish for your sardine.
It's going to eat up all those new fish you're going to get.
During the Yule season, the cat is said to roam the countryside, slipping between farms and villages under the cover of darkness. It hunts children and adults, targeting anyone who failed to receive new clothes for Christmas. So, I guess if you don't get your new clothes, Yule Cat's coming for you.
I guess I'm glad I got some new clothes today.
Oh, no new clothes means no contribution, and no contribution means you're a burden.
Wow.
So, whoa. And, you know, the Yule Cat likes to eat burdens. That's his favorite flavor.
I've known a few of those.
We've had a few come through here. Some versions of the legend say it devours its victims entirely. Others claim it leaves behind scraps, bones, torn clothing, or nothing at all. There's no bargaining with it, no test of character, no second chance. The judgment was already made long before it arrived. But this is what makes the Yule Cat so different from any other holiday monster. Krampus punishes misbehavior. He is theatrical and sometimes even playful with his cruelty. The Yule Cat is not interested in whether you are naughty or nice. It does not punish bad behavior. It punishes uselessness.
That's cold.
So you better contribute.
Mm-hmm. That means taking the trash out.
Where the Yule Cat's gonna get you? Well, actually, you just won't get any clothes.
The cat is often linked to Grela, the giantess who eats misbehaving children and her sons, the Yule Lads. In some stories, the Yule Cat is her pet, stalking the night while her sons are causing mischief and she waits to punish the worst offenders. In others, the cat hunts alone, needing no master. The Yule Lads. Have you guys heard of the Yule Lads?
No.
Most Christmas stories teach children to behave so that they'll be rewarded. In Icelandic folklore, the lesson is quieter and far more unsettling. Instead of one judge or one monster, there are 13. Oh my lord, what is going on?
Hadley's also part Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
Listen, GGP gang. Between researching murders at 2 a.m. and trying to convince ourselves that every creak in the house is definitely a ghost, we need energy. Not the jittery, heart-exploding kind. You know, the kind that makes you feel like you're about to fight a raccoon. Nope. We're talking about Debbie. The clean, crash-free energy that keeps us awake, alive, and able to tell you spooky stories without sounding like zombies. Whether you're editing recordings, chasing kids, or just trying to convince your friends that your house isn't haunted, Dubby's got your back. Go to dubby.gg.com, use our promo code GGP, that's GGP for Guilty Ghostly Podcast, and snag your 10% off your order. So get yourself some Dubby, because the only thing that should be dragging is the ghost that we're talking about.
So there's 13 of them. Instead of, let's see, they come one by one, night after night.
Yeah, no.
She knows. She knows this. She is the Yule Lad.
Which one?
We're fixing to find out. They come in one by one, night after night, creeping closer as Christmas approaches. The Yule Lads come from the old Icelandic folklore long before they were rebranded as mischievous gift givers. Originally, they were not playful. They were feared and considered dangerous beings, almost like troll creatures who lived in the mountains and descended into the villages. I wonder if that's where the Grinch story came from.
Maybe.
They are the sons of Grilla, the child-eating giantess, and the brothers of the Yule Cat. In earlier stories, the Yule Lads were not harmless pranksters. They were predators, thieves, punishers, each embodying a specific form of disruption. Each night, one Yule Lad leaves the mountains and enters the human settlements. Children were born to behave, not because gifts might be withheld, but because the wrong kind of attention could be deadly. Each Yule Lad has their own name and that describes his behavior, and none of those behaviors are kind. There is Sheepcoat Claude, who harasses livestock, threatening a family's food supply. There's Ghoulie Gawk, who hides in ditches.
Ghoulie Gawk?
Ghoulie Gawk. Or maybe Ghoulie. Ghoulie.
Oh,
Ghoulie Gawk. He hides in ditches, waiting to sneak into barns. Stubby. What?
You don't want to know.
I don't.
He said Ghoulie Gawk sounds like Hawk to a...
Jackson Eli.
Farted.
Oh. I read your lips wrong, bro.
Oh my god.
Bye. Okay. What you want, baby? Oh, so pretty. You want two? Tico. You want three? Okay. And that evil looking.
Right,
you're glowing. Go. You look like a glowworm. Then there's Stubby. He steals pans and licks them clean. Spoon licker and pot scraper take what little food is left, leaving families hungry. Bowl licker lives under beds, waiting for someone to set down food. Door slammer keeps households awake through the night, exhausting people already stretched thin.
I know a door slammer.
Oh, here's a good one. He is called
Jackson Eli.
Sausage Swiper. Sausage Swiper steals preserved meats, food meant to last the entire winter. Window Peeper. Watches families from outside, reminding them they're never alone.
That one's kind of scary.
Yeah, that one's not creepy. Doorway Sniffer uses his long nose to locate baked goods. Meat Hook steals meat straight from the storage. And then we have Candle Stealer, who follows children, taking their candles and plunging them into darkness. Hadley who?
These are all right on the nose.
Individually, these acts may seem small, but together they represent everything that could go wrong during the winter. Loss of sleep, stolen food, frightened livestock, and the constant unease. The Yule Lads didn't need to kill to be dangerous. They weakened households slowly, night by night. You are not a very good podcaster. You make a lot of noise.
Too much noise.
In earlier folklore, children who misbehaved were said to be taken by the Yule Lads and brought back brought back to the mountains to be eaten by Grayla. Others were injured, frightened, or simply disappeared, and over time, these stories softened, especially as Christianity and modernization reshaped Icelandic culture. The Yule lads were then transformed from threats into tricksters, from punishers into gift givers. Today, children leave shoes by the window, and the Yule lads leave small gifts or treats. But even now, if a child misbehaves, folklore says they'll receive a potato in their shoe instead.
Yummy.
I'd be all right with a potato.
A baked potato.
Big some potato.
Sour cream.
Oh, there'd be some sour cream in there if you put them in Jackson's shoes.
Ew.
Oh.
Did you say bye-bye? Oh, you want my ghost?
She done tore your room up.
I know. Girl, you done messed it all up. What, baby? Oh, you want to show you and Dad shirts? Okay, Dad, he wants to show your guys' matching shirts. Jackson and Josh about to go. Move your chair out of the way, buddy. Jackson and Josh go to the mall today, and there was a sale, so they had to get matching Terrifier shirts.
Yep.
You like it? Yeah. Pretty cool. All right, well, we're going to have a surprise episode for you guys Christmas Eve. Make sure to drop in. We're going to hop back into true crime the following week. It's going to be a rough one. And then I think we have some pretty cool history and stuff. I guess it's true crime, but more history than anything.
Yep.
So changing it up a bit. We appreciate you guys bearing with us. Hadley's over it. We're on call it good. We'll see y'all next week.
See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Why?
Oh, my goodness. Girly pop.